So last week I told you about one of the most important moments in my life. It was back when I was in college and I taught Sunday school for a Sunday when the youth pastor had resigned. I was invited to teach Psalm chapter 1, my choice on that, but I had a great time teaching the high school students at Wooddale Church when I was a college student. It was one of the most important moments in my life because it affirmed in my heart sort of what I was feeling, that is that God wanted me to move towards ministry as a vocation. And it was the day I really felt internally that I had the gift of teaching, that God had given that to me, the Holy Spirit had given to me. So that was one of the most important moments of my life. That was last week's sort of thought as I started the sermon. Today I want to talk about one of the most embarrassing moments I experienced in my life, which is always kind of a hard thing to do, you know, when you talk about an embarrassing moment, but also involved the Holy Spirit, involved the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So what was it? So it was a few months after that experience of teaching those high school students that feeling prompted to move towards seminary at Bethel to become a pastor, I made application. And in those days, to get into Bethel Seminary, you had to also get the endorsement of your local church, the church you were part of. So while I knew the pastors of Wooddale, I didn't know them personally, I was invited to come to staff meeting, which was on Monday mornings at 8 o'clock, and to talk about my life, talk about my invitation or call to ministry, and just answer questions to get to know them. And I don't remember really hardly anything about that meeting other than two things. One is there was an intimidating group of pastors. There were eight pastors, all men. They were dudes in suits. They wore, the dress code was suits of the day, you know, back in those days. And then also, I remember fumbling a question really, really badly. You know, sort of like most, you know, you ask a question, and then by the time you're done answering, you say, I have no idea what I just said, you know, and sort of wish you could kind of put the words back in your mouth and have a do-over, a mulligan. So they asked me the question, Dennis Fisher did, so Brian, what do you think your spiritual gifts are? And I thought, oh boy. And I looked and I thought, maybe patience, you know, maybe kindness, sense of humor. I was just totally confused about how to answer the question. In fact, I answered it really, really poorly. So looking back, I confused the gifts of the Holy Spirit with the fruit of the Holy Spirit in that conversation. See, the fruit of the Holy Spirit are those character qualities that the Holy Spirit develops within us the more we follow Jesus Christ. Those beautiful character qualities of love and joy, peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Those are all great things to develop, right? So that's what I was thinking. That's what went to my mind. And I wasn't thinking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit because, honestly, I was uninformed and unaware and ignorant about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Even though I had grown up in a Christian family, a pastor's family, even though I had gone to Bible teaching churches, listening to my father preach week after week, I never really recalled talking about or hearing messages or learning about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, the point of telling that story is that, you know, it's not that you need to know your spiritual gift before you serve. It's that God wants all of us to be informed about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to know what our gifts are and then to use our gifts. And then we talked a bit about that last week. Remember, we looked at 1 Corinthians 12:1, where Paul writes, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." Or as another translation says, "I don't want you to be ignorant about the gifts of the Holy Spirit." And then in 1 Peter 4:10, Peter writes, "God has given each one of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve each other." So you put those verses together, and clearly what the Bible says, what God says to us, is that God wants us to know what our spiritual gifts are, and God wants us to what? To use those spiritual gifts, exactly. So raises then two questions again this morning for you and for me. There's sort of two questions we're landing on as we go through this mini-series on spiritual gifts in Ephesians. First question, what are your spiritual gifts? See, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have at least one spiritual gift, most likely more than that. So what is the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to you? Do you know what those gifts are? Do you know what they are? And second of all, are you then using your gifts to help the church be all that God wants her to be? Because again, God does not want us to be uninformed about our gifts. God wants us to know and to use our gifts. So this morning we're going to talk about some specific spiritual gifts that are identified in the New Testament. They're called serving gifts. But before we get to those serving gifts, I want to do a quick review of what we talked about last week, just to sort of remind ourselves of these important ideas about spiritual gifts, as well as some people maybe missed last week, they weren't here. So I've got a six-question quiz, because we asked six questions about spiritual gifts last week, and I actually have a reward for anybody who gets these questions right, okay? But you got to grade yourself, and you can be generous, Okay, I'd be happy to give these gifts out. In fact, I want to give these gifts out to people today. So here's the first of the six questions in the quiz. First of all, what is a spiritual gift? Remember the definition we talked about last week? There are actually two definitions we gave. One was from Leslie Flynn, a pastor who's written this book called 19 Gifts of the Holy Spirit, that a spiritual gift is a spirit-given ability to minister to others. A spirit-given ability to minister to others. It's a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit, given to minister to other people, okay? My favorite definition, though, comes from Leith Anderson, the former pastor of Wooddale Church, who was in that room when I had that interview, and I totally blew the question. But his definition of spiritual gift was God's job for you, that God's given you a task, a ministry. This is God's job for you. I love that definition because it kind of cuts right to the chase about it. So that's the first question. How'd you do on that question? Did you get it? Halfway, maybe all the way? So that's the first question. Here's the second question. How many spiritual gifts do we have? Some scriptures which explain the answer to that. So if you're paying attention, you got that one. How many gifts do we have? At least one, most likely more than one, right? 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve each other. So God has given to each of you a gift, is what it says. Who decides what gifts we have? Question number three. Who decides? Do we decide? Do we choose them? I want this one, but not that one. No, we don't. It's the Holy Spirit who decides what gift we have because the Holy Spirit knows us. The Holy Spirit knows the church we're going to serve in. The Holy Spirit knows what the needs are. So the Holy Spirit is one who divinely gives gifts to people in that church to accomplish the ministry of that church. So 1 Corinthians 12:11 says that. It says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Fourth question, how do I discern what my spiritual gifts are? We talked about three E's. Going a little bit down now into the weeds and talking about this. So what are the three E's of how we discern what our gift is? Well, first of all, examine what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. Look at the four passages that talk about them. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. Those are the places to read to see what the Bible has to say. So examine what the Bible says. Second of all, evaluate your experience in ministry. When you're doing ministry, where have you felt like, boy, this feels really good. This feels real natural. I think this is a good place for me to serve. It's like when I taught that Sunday school class back when I was a 22-year-old, 21-year-old college senior. God affirmed in my heart and my life, this is what I should be doing with my life and how he had gifted me. So evaluate your experience. And then third, evaluate feedback. When people receive the ministry that you're giving, they're most likely going to say thank you, or they're going to say, boy, what you did really made a difference in my life. After I taught that lesson on Psalm 1, I was just kind of flabbergasted when several students came up to say, that was really good. They said it kind of in a high school sort of way, that was kind of cool. And then some friends, you know, who were volunteers said, that was really, really good. In fact, I was surprised you did so well. you know how your friends kind of say those things to you? So it was just kind of an affirmation that I needed just to sort of keep going. So how do I discern my spiritual gifts? Those are the ways that the answer to those questions. Fifth question, can I grow my spiritual gifts? Can we? Absolutely. They're like talents and abilities that we have. The more we exercise them, the more we do them, the better they become. In fact, that's what Paul says to Timothy. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Fan into flame the gift you've been given. God wants you to use it. God wants you to blow air on it. God wants you to make it better than what it is and keep growing to the day he calls you home. And then sixth, what does God want me to do with my gifts? That's an easy one. What does he want you to do with your gifts? Exactly. Know them and use them, right? So again, I've got some rewards for anybody who did pretty well on the test, so the quiz. So meet me at the door after the service, and I'll be happy to give that to you. So today we're going to talk about six serving gifts to discern if we have any of them. And the truth is this, lots of people in this room have one of these six gifts, perhaps more than one of these six gifts. But before we actually launch into the description of these six gifts, I have two more kind of foundation pieces about spiritual gifts I want to lay on you, which are really important to understand what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. The first of which is the difference between roles and gifts. Roles and gifts. What do we mean by that? Well, there are certain things we do because we're Christians, but there's also certain things that we do because we're gifted by the Holy Spirit to do that. So what do I mean by that? Well, the Bible tells us that we're all to serve. That's part of what it means to be a Christian, right? That we are to serve one another. But the Bible also says there is a spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit of helps and of serving other people. So all of us are to serve, but some of us have a supernatural ability to even do it in a greater way. The same thing is true about sharing our faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells every believer that they are a witness. In fact, Jesus said as he ascended to heaven, he told the disciples, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. That every Christian is to be a witness for Jesus Christ, no matter who we are, no matter where we are. But some have been given the spiritual gift of evangelism, that when we share our faith, people respond in a powerful way. That's another example. Another one is wisdom. The Bible says that there are some that have been given the spiritual gift of wisdom. They just sort of have this, they exude wisdom. They sort of have a special gift of the, helping people sort out the issues of their life. But the Bible also says, like for instance in Proverbs 2, that we are to seek wisdom. We're to seek wisdom like we seek hidden treasure. If you knew there was treasure in your backyard, you'd be digging in your backyard probably this afternoon, pushing away the snow and going through that, warming the soil so you could dig into it. That's what we're supposed to do with wisdom. We're supposed to pursue wisdom for all of us, but some of us have been given a spiritual gift of wisdom. So understand the distinction there. There are certain things we do because we're a Christian, but there's also certain things that we do because we're gifted by the Holy Spirit to do them. That's important to understand. Gifts and roles. So here's the second thing to understand. That is gifts and godliness. In other words, how these gifts relate to also being godly. So I want to read a passage from the Bible, which is not normally associated with spiritual gifts, but I think it speaks to this topic and the importance of how it is that we are to be godly people more than we're to be gifted people. We should focus on character development even more than focus in on spiritual gifts, because that's really important to keep that in mind. So listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter of the Bible. Maybe you read in your wedding or maybe what you've been to recently. Here's what it says. Pay attention to see what it says then about spiritual gifts. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So 1 Corinthians 12 talks about spiritual gifts. Now Paul transitions to love in chapter 13. In these first couple verses, he talks about five gifts of the Holy Spirit that he's talked about in chapter 12. But what does he say about them? He says what's more important than even exercising the gifts and having the gifts is what? Being a loving person. It's the character of who we are as an individual. That love and godliness trumps gifts. That's not to minimize the importance of gifts, because Paul also says we're not to be ignorant about our gifts, but what's more important is that we are to be a godly person. We're to be a loving person. You know, we've all been around somebody who's really talented and gifted and does some amazing things, but arrogant or rude or unkind, what's that like? You kind of run away from that person. And Paul's acknowledging that we are to be godly in who we are and our character. That's even more important than the gifts that God's given to us, as important as those are. So that's important as well. So roles and gifts, but also gifts and godliness. That's important. So the New Testament specifically mentions 19 gifts of the Holy Spirit that we're going to talk about here today and next week and perhaps the following week in those four passages. And a pastor years ago divided those 19 gifts of the Holy Spirit into three categories that I have found helpful. He breaks them into what's called serving gifts, and speaking gifts, and sign gifts. So we're going to talk about the serving gifts today. We'll talk about the speaking gifts next week, and probably bleed that into the following week, talk about the speaking and sign gifts as well. Let's talk then this morning about serving gifts. So the first of the six we're going to breeze our way through this morning is the gift of helps. And as I talk about this gift and the other gifts, here's something I want you to be aware of in your mind, be thinking. So we're going to talk about the gift, we're going to define the gift, we're going to read some passage in the Bible which talks about the gift, and then I'm going to give you some signs of, do you have that gift? And then I want you to do assessment as you're listening to the signs, is that me? Does that describe me? But I also want you to think about, well, maybe it doesn't describe me, but it may describe the person next to me or somebody else in my life. And I want you to make a mental note to go talk to that person and say, you know that gift that Brian talked about, that gift of helps, that gift of serving, that gift of giving, I see that in you. Because we all need the feedback from other people to help us discern what our gift is. So give that person some help with what you see in them. So again, the first gift that we're going to talk about in the serving category is the gift of helps, also known as serving. It's defined as the ability and responsibility to give needed help and support to others. So you give needed help and support to others. It's actually mentioned three times in the list in the New Testament, and one of those is in 1 Peter 4. Listen to what it says. Peter writes, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? There it is. Do you have the gift of helps or of serving? Then I love what Peter writes. Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. So if you have the gift of helps and serving, what are you to do? You're to do it well. You're to do it with all the energy and strength that God provides, the energy that God provides. And I would say this, lots of people have this gift because the church has needs of all kinds of people to do all kinds of things in serving other folks. That's kind of what the church is about, serving other people. So here's some signs that you have this gift of helps, this gift of serving. First is that you really like helping others. You really enjoy it. In fact, you go out of your way to help others. In fact, you even see things that need to be done, and you do them without even being asked. You sort of just step up and say, I can do that, or you just take the initiative to do things that need to be done. You're willing to do whatever that is. And also then you feel great joy and satisfaction helping people and serving others. You're content and you're even happy with quiet behind-the-scenes roles and ministries. You probably even shun any kind of limelight on you, because you don't want that kind of limelight to be shiny. You just sort of have this desire to serve behind the scenes and to help other people. You're quite content and happy to do that, and you look forward to doing that. So does that describe you? Describe you maybe as the gift of helps, the gift of serving? Then good. Then you are to do with all the energy and the strength that God gives you. But is there somebody else in your world that you think of right now? Then make it a point to tell them, to say, I see the gift of helps. I see the gift of serving in you. Here's the second gift in the serving category, and that is the gift of hospitality. That is the ability and responsibility to provide a welcome and friendship and food or lodging, especially to newcomers and strangers. It comes from Romans 12:13. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Now, what Paul says here is that everybody's to be hospitable. To be a Christian is to be hospitable. But some have that special ability, that special gift to do that for others. So how do you know if you have the gift of hospitality? Well, here's a couple signs that you do. You enjoy hosting others for meals in your home, or you like to share meals with other people outside of your home. In other words, you deliver a meal, or you make sure somebody has food. So you host people in your home, or you make sure that people have what they need outside of your home, giving them a gift like with some meals. You seek out new people in church or groups. You're always looking for new people to welcome them into the group. You sort of see people that are kind of on the margins of a church. You kind of go out of your way to say, hey, come join in. You invite them to go to things like Alpha or go to a small group or come to something like a retreat or something else that is would help them to get to know other people. You're like Barnabas in the New Testament, the book of Acts. Barnabas was always somebody who's introducing somebody to somebody. He's always ministering to other people in that way. And a person with hospitality does that very same thing. You're probably a people person. You enjoy people. And here's the other thing about the gift of hospitality. You don't expect payback. In other words, you don't expect somebody to kind of do something for you what you've done for them. You don't expect them to give you a meal if you give them a meal. You don't expect them to invite you over to your house, their house, if you invite them into your house. You just do it because you want to help people. So that's the gift of hospitality. Is that you? Is that you? Then do it to the best of your ability. Is it somebody else? Then go tell them that you see this gift in them. Here's the third gift in the serving category. It's the gift of giving. It's the ability and responsibility to give to the Lord in his work with unusual generosity and joy. Romans 12:8 says it like this. If your gift is to encourage others, then be encouraging. If it is giving, then notice what it says. Give generously. So what does it say there? It says if we have that gift that we are then to give generously. Let me talk about some signs that you have the gift of giving because I think some of these may surprise you. They're important though to pay attention to. The signs you have the gift of giving is that you love to give to God and others, that you're a generous person. In fact, one of the things that's most favorite moments in a worship service is when they pass the offering plate. You just love to give that gift. You look forward to giving your gifts to the Lord and giving your contribution to the Lord because you love to do that. You love to give. You give cheerfully, just like the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9. You don't give because you have to. You don't give grudgingly. You give because you want to, because you want your resources to bless others and to build the kingdom of God. You love to give. And here is a really important sign that you have the gift of giving. You've been a giver no matter your income level, whether you made a lot or whether you made a little. One of my favorite stories to tell about that is a little girl who was my daughter years ago who had a penny. She walked up to a missionary who she heard talk about the need for some giving. And she walked up and she gave her penny to the missionary and said, here, help people, help teenagers. It was a Youth for Christ missionary. And that missionary was just kind of blown away, so much so that that missionary wrote about that little girl's one penny, that she gave what she had. She gave the widow's mite. Friends, giving is not just, the gift of giving is not just about people who have a lot of income. It's for people at all levels of income. They just love to give, and so they give what God's given to them. They give sacrificially, not from what's left over, but they give first fruits as a priority. Let me step back here and say, just remind everybody in the room that giving is one of those responsibilities that every believer has. We're all called to give. The Bible teaches the tithe as the basis, the basic amount, that 10% of our income is to go to the Lord. It's the first fruits of what we are to give to him. But those with the gift of giving, they're people who have this special joy of giving even beyond the tithe, beyond that amount. They want to do that because they want God's work to be advanced and to meet the needs of people. Here's another sign that you have the gift of giving. You think about giving more than you think about getting, more than about how much you make and how to make more money. You think about how you can give in creative ways, that how you can give more. I have a friend who's not a high income earner, who one time just sort of sheepishly told me that he has a goal in his life to give away $1 million. Isn't that kind of an amazing thing? A guy who set a goal to give away $1 million, not somebody who has a lot of money to give, but somebody who has a priority in his life to plan his giving and to choose a goal. That's what he's going to keep track of, to try to reach that goal and to give as much as he can every year to reach that goal. That's somebody who has that gift of giving. They're creative. And here's the other thing about the gift of giving. You don't give for recognition, but you simply take joy and satisfaction in God using your giving to help others in the kingdom of God. So is gift of giving your gift? Then what the Bible says is give generously. Is the gift that you see in somebody else? Then encourage them in that. Say, I see this gift in you. Here is a fourth gift in the category of serving gifts. That's the gift of leadership. It's the ability and responsibility to determine God's goals for the church and to guide the church for fulfillment of those goals. And it's actually listed two times in the list of the gifts in the New Testament, and with different words. One time it talks about how somebody with the gift of leadership is to rule or to manage. And so somebody with that gift of leadership manages efforts. So manages, in this case, the affairs of the church and helps give management to people and to resources to help make that happen. But also there's the idea of steering. So it's like a pilot in a boat in those days, but we'd say pilot in the car, that's steering the car to get to where it's supposed to go, to get the destination. So that's what the gift of leadership is. You're managing, but also you're steering. It's listed in Romans 12:8. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, then what does it say? Take the responsibility what? Seriously. So in other words, step up. If God has given you that gift, then don't run from that gift. Don't shirk that gift, but step into the leadership roles that God has given to you and fulfill those roles. Here are signs you have the gift of leadership, and that is that you're an informal leader already. So in other words, you're sitting in a group of people, and people are sort of like, there's a task that needs to be done, and somebody says, well, what do we do now? And the leader will say, I'll step in. I will do that. I'll help make that happen. That's somebody who has an informal leadership ability. They see the need and they say, I can help make that happen. So they influence people by their life and by their wisdom, by their work, by their willingness to serve and their willingness to work hard. And there are people who they are affirmed by others as a leader. So they're invited into leadership roles. But here's the most important thing about the spiritual gift of leadership. In fact, the difference between leadership in the world and leadership in the church. It's two qualities, two characteristics that we see in the Bible. The first of which is the characteristic of servanthood. Servanthood. See, in the church, leadership is about serving. It's about serving the purpose of the church, serving the people of the church, serving Jesus Christ. It's helping the church be what God wants the church to be. And so you're not into the title of leader, but you're willing to do whatever's necessary and what's needed to serve the church, to serve Jesus, to help the church accomplish what the church is intended to do. And so you're a servant. You're not about a title and about a position. And then the second quality is character quality. It's godliness. When you read the list of character qualities which are intended for God's leaders in the church in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, it's about their character. It's not necessarily about what they do. It's more about who they are, about their reputation with people outside the church, about the fact that they are a loving and faithful person in relationships, how they are a family person, committed to their children, committed to their family. It's about who they are as a person more than it's about what they do in terms of their tasks and their skills. So they have godly character. So, and they're willing to work finally. So does that describe you? Do you have that gift of leadership? Then what does the Bible say to you in that gift of leadership? Take the responsibility what? Seriously. Step up and be the leader that God has called you to be, that God, the Holy Spirit, has gifted you to be. Here's the fifth one. That's mercy. Mercy is the ability and responsibility to feel compassion for hurting people and taking action to alleviate the hurt. So a person with the gift of mercy, they feel the pain of other people. They don't just feel bad for other people, feel pity. They actually step out and do something about it. They take action to help somebody who has a need. Romans 12:8 says, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, in other words, mercy, then do it what? Do it gladly. Do it cheerfully. Do it gladly. So here are signs you have the gift of mercy. You are naturally drawn to people that are hurting, that are suffering, and in need. You care deeply for them and for what they're going through. You especially look out for the people that are left behind, the people that are left out. You get emotional about their needs, wanting to help them. Also, you feel their pain in a personal way. If you have the gift of mercy, then this past week you probably felt some pain inside with the news of what happened, the national story of Kobe Bryant and those nine people that went down in the helicopter. So there was sort of a moment you said, ah, that's terrible. It's not just a news story to you. It's like, think about those families. Think about the widows. Think about the children. Think about the loss of all of that. And you feel that. You feel the sorrow of that moment. That perhaps is an indication you have the gift of mercy. Here's another thing, and that is that you're motivated beyond the moment. You know, a lot of people can respond to an immediate plea of, please help. And they might give something, they might do something in the moment. But somebody has a gift of mercy. They move beyond the moment, and they have staying power to stick with that need, to stick with that situation long after that moment is presented. So they follow through, and they do some amazing work because they're motivated beyond the moment, and they want to care and help in meaningful ways. They do it gladly and cheerfully. And lastly, they're good at caring for others. They have a track record of doing so. In other words, their life is filled with example after example of being merciful and being compassionate towards people in need. So again, I ask the question, does this describe you? Does this describe you? If it describes you, what does the Bible say to you? Then do it cheerfully. Do it gladly. Be a person who does those things gladly. If it's somebody else, then let them know that you see that gift in them. Here's the last of the six serving gifts. It's the gift of faith. The ability to determine the will of God and believe God will accomplish it even when it looks impossible. So again, let me step back and say every Christian has faith. We are saved by grace through what? Through faith. So faith is saving. It's what gives us a relationship with God. But some people have a spiritual gift from the Holy Spirit to believe in the midst of some big obstacles. We're going to get there. God's going to accomplish it. And that's just a great help to people that sometimes struggle with faith, that maybe are weaker in their faith and don't have the strong conviction that God's going to do that. So if you have the gift of faith, here's some signs about that. You have a strong conviction about the power of God and his provision in spite of significant obstacles. In fact, you see obstacles as opportunities to trust God. You see the obstacles. You're not denying the obstacles, but you see that it's going to be great to see how God provides in the midst of that, how God's going to overcome that. God's going to get through that. If you have that gift of faith, you're going to be a person. You're going to be energized by obstacles, not dismayed by obstacles. That's a great thing. Because what happens is when your energy for your faith of seeing God accomplish that, that rubs off on other people, people that need you to rub off on them if you've got that gift. Here's something else with the gift of faith. You're a person of prayer because prayer and faith go together. A person of great faith is a person who also is a person of great prayer. And people who pray a lot are also people who grow deep faith and have a gift from the Lord in that. So you're a person of prayer because prayer and faith go together. You're an optimist by nature. As you believe every one of God's good promises, you really believe them, and you live as if you believe them. And then lastly, just what I said a moment ago, God uses your faith to encourage others and build their faith. So does that describe you? Are you a person with the gift of faith? Then use that gift. Use that gift to help the church and to help others press through the obstacles of ministry and the obstacles in the life of the church. And if there's somebody else that you know that has that gift, then go tell them you see that gift in them. So those are the six serving gifts. So what do we do about all this? Well, a couple things. Again, pray and ask God to reveal to you what your gifts are, because most likely in the list of the six that we just talked about, there are lots of people in this room that have one or more of those gifts. So ask the Lord to reveal to you what your gifts are. Second of all, read the Bible passages about the spiritual gifts to get affirmation from the scriptures. But here's the third thing I want you to do, and that is online on the Northwood website, there is an assessment that we have put there this week. And that assessment is a way for you to respond to about 95 different statements, for you to use that as a way to discern what your gifts might be. What will happen is if you take the time, the 30 or so minutes, to go through those 90 questions, then you'll get a printout of what your gifts might be. Here's mine. I did it this last week. It takes, again, like maybe half an hour to go through it as you respond thoughtfully to those questions. But do that and see what that inventory has to say to you. Take that as yet another piece of information from God to help you discern what your gifts are. And then you'll notice in the program this morning, you've got this little brochure. You got it? Go ahead and grab it real quick from the program. It is a Venn diagram of the three categories of spiritual gifts, the serving gifts, of the sign gifts, and of the speaking gifts, and ministries at Northwood Church where you can use those specific gifts in a way to be of help in the ministry of this particular church. So take a look at that, read through this brochure, and use this as a guide along with the assessment, along with your personal feedback that you get inside, as well as the feedback from others, and also the scripture reading, to help you take steps towards discerning what your spiritual gift is. Because what does God want you to do with your spiritual gift? He wants you to know it, and he wants you to what? Use it. That's exactly right. That's what we're talking about, spiritual gifts, in these weeks. All right. Got it? Class and sermon is over. Let's pray. Well, Holy Spirit, thank you for coming into our lives as a gift from the Father, from the Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've sent the Spirit into our lives to convict us of our sin, to make us more like Jesus, to gift us for ministry, and to use us in the life of the church. So help every one of us, Holy Spirit, to be serious about this and to use gladly and cheerfully the gifts you've given to us, to take them serious, Lord, because that's what you want us to do, so that Northwood Church will be all that you want her to be, and so that we'll grow in our faith and be faithful disciples of Jesus. So help us in this journey, every one of us. Speak to us from what we've heard this morning in ways that you want us to respond. We pray, O Lord.